At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. This is the early line, and over the next 3 hours, action-packed all the way through, confrontations in college football, NBA Cup action. The start of the NFL week begins tomorrow night with an absolute banger, but it's our job to get you caught up on everything you need to know to get your morning started. I'm Donnie Wrightside, he's Dubs Anderson, and away we go, Dubsy, over the next 3 hours. Boy, oh boy, do we got time. Topics.
Wow, wow, wow. Happy Wednesday, Donnie. Always great to be in the mix. And there's no shortage in the sports wagering landscape right now. Things are starting to heat up. I've done the stretches. I've got the culprit. We got plays on top of plays. So let's get after it.
Let's absolutely get after it. And that begins with a television show last night that's not necessarily produced, obviously, by the Sports Grid Network, but boy, do we like to comment on it. The college football playoff show. If you looked yesterday, number one, Oregon. Number two, hold on, you know what? Let me forget about that. Let me just go with this. Boise State, Oregon, SMU, Texas. Let's keep it short. That's the expectations to be the bye weeks in the quarterfinals. We're going to get to the rest, Dubsy, and boy, oh boy, are we.
That bubble is about to explode. What about Bama, the Crimson Tide, rolling into the mix? Of course they are, Donnie. Of course Alabama are looking to make it a start in the college football playoffs. Why wouldn't they be? They've had a fantastic body of work. You can see it two ways, but certainly a new look top 12 here and a lot to jump into. A couple of big takeaways, and there's a lot of unhappy campers early on a Wednesday, Donnie.
No, we're going to hit this in its entirety here, but if you are looking at some of these numbers, don't get upset just yet. I've told you multiple times over the past couple years, it's a television show designed to get people upset and talking about that television show. Things will change next week. Why? Because teams still have to play football. And also remind yourselves, there was no way they were going to leave Florida State out as long as they won the ACC championship until they realized how bad FSU actually was last year and kept them out. So look at this weekend, Sunday morning when they release those rankings, we are going to see everything set in stone. Don't get upset just yet, but let's yell and scream absolutely about it. Let's talk some NBA Cup action last night. A lot of games taking place, Milwaukee, New York, Orlando, OKC, Dallas, all advance to the knockout stage. How excited, Dubsy, are now we see the NBA Cup in its reality now.
I'll tell you what, we see these courts. How can you miss them? Out there, neon bright signs. Quarterfinals are set next Tuesday, Wednesday for the NBA Cup. And it's going to be a wild one in the West. We've got four new shooters. The Mavs going against OKC. The Golden State Warriors squaring off against the Houston Rockets. And I tell you what, we got some star power on top of that as well. Plenty of MVPs in the mix. So good to see a couple of new teams making a fast start early in the season here towards lifting that NBA Cup.
Fantastic, Dubs. You know what I say to the NBA Cup? Hopefully it doesn't happen next year because, once again, nobody cares about the NBA Cup. So let's keep it moving here as we go along in the 7-7. How about the Clemson Tigers last night in college basketball? The SEC, ACC Men's Challenge. Clemson moves to a perfect 6-0 at home, knocking off the Wildcats of Kentucky with their first loss of the season, 70-66. Playing that good defense at home prevails for the Clemson Tigers.
Wow. Wildcats go missing here. Chauncey Wiggins with a big one. He puts up a little 12-piece. And, you know, for the Wildcats, it's been a fast start under first-year head coach Mark Pope. But this was certainly one of the biggest tests that they faced early here in the regular season. That defense, that really shut them down. So for the Wildcats, back to the drawing board and maybe the wake-up call they needed early here in the year. But that was a very impressive and very polished performance from Clemson in taking them down 70-66.
Yeah, we're not in Maui. We're not in the Bahamas. We're not down in Cancun. These are actually games that are going to be very important when you talk about those quad one victories and strength of schedule. If we continue in the SEC, ACC men's challenge, how about yesterday? Not much of a challenge. Did Syracuse provide Tennessee 96-70 as the Volunteers almost hit the century mark and plaster the Syracuse Orange yesterday at home down in Knoxville?
Yeah, Vols look fantastic. I think they had 22,000 on site over there in Knoxville. So it was a big performance. And speaking of 22, they went off as 22.5-point favorites. So they stay perfect. It was a big performance for Syracuse. They were never really in this one, but we saw plenty of points and plenty of star power there. Chaz Lanier, he puts up a nice little 26-points performance to lead the way on Tuesday night for Tennessee.
How about this? The Big Ten action heated up. And by the way, all they do is win now at Michigan, Dubsy. A win by the football team over Ohio State. Now a win by the basketball team over the Wisconsin Badgers. 67-64 in a close game with a slow start from Michigan, which showed them down 6 points at the break. But a good defensive performance in the second half. And the offense woke up, scoring 41 points in that second stanza. 67-64. The Michigan Wolverines improve to 7-1 on the season.
Yeah, they looked really strong there, Donnie, and I guess they didn't have to lean on their superstar in Trey Donaldson. He really didn't have a monster Tuesday night tip-off there, but it was more Vladislav Golden. He topped him there with a career-high 24-point performance. He was strong. He was strong in the paint there as well. Went on a nice little run before that halftime break, and that was enough to ultimately get it done. It seemed like it was a close one in the final couple of minutes, but it was the Wolverines getting that wow over Wisconsin.
Another set of big games tonight on the card. We'll handicap those a little bit later in the show as we move it over to the bases here. The only sport alive, Dubsy. We have one of the biggest free agents in the history of the sport. Season ended in November. Now we're sitting here and taking a look at being in December. And Juan Soto saying, you know what, Dubsy? I might sign this week at this point. Juan Soto's decision may be expected this week. What are the odds on that?
Geez, big odds, big payday, expected to be right around $600 million for the star 26-year-old, the five-time silver slugger. And it's not Juan Soto and management telling us where he wants to go. It seems like it's more a process of elimination where he's not going to go. But it sounds like the live players, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Blue Jays, and surprise, surprise, possibly the Dodgers. That's exactly what we need out here on the West Coast. Another superstar in Juan Soto. But $600 million, Donnie? Man, I wish I was better at sports.
I'll tell you right now, the interesting part about this, Dubsy, is not the actual contract, because you know he's going to get paid a lot of money. But let me tell you something now. Baseball just might implode if he goes to the Dodgers, Dubsy, and we see one of those. Juan Soto took $650 million, but over the next 3 years, he's going to make $425,000 to keep them under the luxury tax. And also, are we setting up for the Dodgers literally a ticking time bomb in 10 years when they go, we have 30 players under, you know, contract at this point for technically $30 million, but we owe $1 billion on the back end of players who are no longer playing for us that we still owe money to. So keep an eye on that. And also something we need to keep an eye on, Tiger Woods. Did he even play last year? I don't even know, Dubsy, but he's saying he's not tournament ready. Man, hasn't been tournament ready in 5 years.
He's just going to hang him up. I mean, put the irons back on the shelf there. But Tiger Woods playing host down in the Bahamas this week for his tournament, the Hero World Challenge. He will not be pegging it up, but giving us a bit of a timeline in the press of this week, saying that he's still working, he's still grinding. He had another surgery on that back to just take a bit more relief, and one of the greatest to ever do it. You'd love to see him back in the mix, contending at the major championships, but he was a little cautious. He was very clear to the media and saying, look, I'm not going to say it's going to be once a month, once a quarter, just going to see how the body progresses. But it does sound like he has still got that hunger, that fire within, which is what has made him one of the best athletes of all time that we've ever seen. But tell you what, Donnie, the young guys get better and better. They swing it quicker and quicker. And for Tiger Woods to ever contend again, he would need a lot to fall in his way.
By the way, like he's talking about his, you know, injuries. Obviously, his back is always an issue. Had another surgery over the past couple months here, and now he's taking a look at trying to get that leg back in gear. But can we get an apology, Dubsy, from him? Sunday Red? I mean, maybe the worst brand expansion we've ever seen. Can we agree on that? Come on now.
What is it, Donnie? It looks like one of those skeletons you used to put, you know, on the classroom chalkboard when you're trying to figure out the body parts. I don't get it. I'm right there with you, Donnie. I'll take some free merch for Tiger if you're watching.
By the way, you're all right about that. I think it's like a shrimp there. Like, I think he loves actual seafood and shrimp, so he put the shrimp on the Sunday Red. And obviously, he couldn't pay for just Sunday Red. He had to go Sunday Red. I mean, come on, Tiger. You made a lot of bad decisions in your life. The worst one, Sunday Red. College football playoff coming up. Roll Tide, baby. Let's talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The heat is on. And when I talk about the heat, no, it's cold in the Northeast here. The heat is on in most homes. I get that. The heat is on for the college football playoff ranking show yesterday, which caught a lot of heat. And I love it because as we talk about Dubsy on sports shows, this is what we live for. It's arguments for and arguments against. Then once we see the final playoff picture next Sunday, there will be arguments for and arguments against. But those arguments against and for won't mean anything because that top 12 will be set in stone. If we look at the college football rankings, 1 through 12 as of this morning, Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, SMU, Indiana, Boise State, Alabama, and Miami. Now, a lot of key information came out of it yesterday, which we are going to get to. But if we're just looking right now, let's just say, Dubsy, at the top four, Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, there are no issues there. Georgia, Ohio State, that's where the issues start to begin. And not from a Georgia side, it's Ohio State. If we pair Ohio State up with Miami, the movers and the shakers where they would be, they really, talking about Miami, got penalized for a loss on the road against a quality Syracuse team when Ohio State was a 3-touchdown favorite at home against a bad Michigan football team and lost. Ohio State and Miami right in the crosshairs this morning, Dubsy.
Yeah, they really are, Donnie. And for a couple of teams and a couple of, you know, fans of the big programs, you'd be a little salty this morning. I guess we're now seeing a little further the measuring stick of wins, losses, and style points and how the committee are really seeing this thing. And you highlighted a couple of teams that stood out to you. I teased it off the top there. It's Bama sneaking in to that top 12, taking the 11th spot for me. You know, should they be there? Shouldn't they be there? It tells us it really has been about the body of work. They sit, you know, 9-3 there with some pretty, you know, embarrassing losses there. One was an absolute blowout, but it's still enough for them to, you know, climb up the standings from what we saw last week. I get it. They've had, you know, 3 wins against top 25 teams, 6 wins against bowl eligible opponents. But I just, you know, I haven't been a big fan of this format, Donnie, as we've highlighted over the last couple of weeks there. So I don't mind what we see from the top four, but it's a little tough takeaway, I guess, that the old Crimson Tide have just rattled straight back up into this thing. It's got me thinking, and is it the ratings? Is it the strength of schedule? Is it the conference you're playing in? There's still a lot to take away. I know it's your favorite TV show on a Tuesday night, Donnie, but it's got the boys fired up here on a Wednesday.
Yeah, the only TV show we should have for the college football ranking show is the last show that actually matters. But they understand this is good for content. You can yell at each other. Guys move up and down the list. And we argue about it here. But the format is flawed, and we knew this coming in. Because the true point in college football, it is a playoff. We can call it that now. 2 was ridiculous. 4 was a little bit better. 12, at least we have. It's like, okay, there are going to be arguments on the back end, but at least we know we're getting the top 5, the top 6 teams in the country. No questions asked. And the rest will come through. But here's where the issues start to come in. And it's ridiculous that it's done. Like, if you're looking at the top 4 seeds, and if we just go by the championship odds, Oregon number 1. Plus 350. Makes sense here. Texas right now, number 2, plus 380. It makes sense. Then you look at SMU as that AC, which if they win, they'll get the bye 20-1. Okay, I understand it. But then the final seed is Boise State here. 100-1 and they're getting the bye. That's the issue. It's like, and I know I do topics all the time, like just make me commissioner. We want to get the best football teams in. Now, is the problems worse at 4 than it is at 12? Yes, it was ridiculous because you could argue that the 5-6 team could beat the number one team. We're not having any arguments. Like Boise's coming in as a ceremonial placeholder. And I'm sorry if I go on a diatribe about there is no comparison between the football playoff Dubsy and March Madness. March Madness is unique. It's getting over 60 teams in, and the Cinderella stories are fun and they deserve to be there. And then we get angry in the Elite Eight when a Cinderella upsets a blue blood. It's fun in the moment. Then you realize in the Final Four, you got to watch a Cinderella story, which nobody wants to watch. We want Kentucky. We want Duke. We want North Carolina. We want the big boys in there. So when I take a look at the college football playoff, Boise State gets a bye and lines up. It's almost like it's not fraudulent, but it's based up on the parameters that I just can't agree with at this point, Dubsy. Give me the best 12, not charity cases.
And Donnie, this tells us all we need to know. You've got SMU sitting at 20-1, Boise State at 100-1. The odds makers are saying they're no shot. They're making up the numbers. What are we doing? They get to punch their ticket straight into the quarterfinals. They get an easier path, and they still can't be projected to pick up 3 wins to take it all out. So obviously that screams that this is an inefficient model and product from what we are looking at. I mean, Arizona State, I guess, you know, the winner of the Big 12 championship game, they're going to punch their ticket in, whether it's Arizona State or Iowa State. They'll be guaranteed a spot there as well. And they'd square off against Penn State if it were to start, you know, coming up this weekend. And then they'd get their shot at Boise State. So, I don't agree with it, Donnie. And it would make sense if all of these conferences were stacked up equally. You know, if we thought that what you're getting is going to be a fair fight coming into the playoffs, but it's absolutely not. And we've seen that. And the committee's telling us that strength of schedule is a big thing, but we've still found a pathway for these teams who obviously have a much lesser than schedule with their road to the college football playoffs, and they're given a seat at the table. It makes no sense for me.
No, and also in the past, Dubsy, it was always about wins and losses, like top 2 to get the BCS, maybe even the top 4.
That's right now.
The committee's telling you, the committee's telling you now that losses don't matter. It's what conference you play in, which I can sort of agree with here because not everything is fair. But then you take a look at teams like Miami getting downgraded with 2 losses, where in the old BCS schedule, Miami had 2 losses, Alabama 3. It wouldn't even be a conversation. Miami doesn't care who they play. They only lost 2 games. They're ahead of a 3-loss team. But yet we're backtracking, going like, Indiana won loss here. Indiana would have 3, 4, 5 losses if they played in the SEC. But again, this is where we actually play. And also, we're going to continue this conversation after the break, but let me just get this out of here too. I don't know where the concept came, Dubsy, where the top 4 teams get a bye, which I agree with, which helps them. But they get a bye to play at a neutral site. We're doing this backwards. The first round should be those meaningless, corny bowl games. Like Ohio State, Tennessee should be the Rose Bowl round number 1 at a neutral site. And then round number 2, you get the benefit of being the higher seed at home. Oregon at home. Texas at home. Boise State on an ice-cold field on blue turf, possibly playing Penn State, would be phenomenal theater. But you know what? Boise State's going to have 3,000 people in the stands against 97,000 Penn State teams when they're supposed to be the de facto home team in that environment. It's ridiculous. And I hope that over the next couple years, this gets remedied and gets a little bit more fair. We got way more to go on this topic right here. It's the Early Line. It's Sports Grid. We're getting after it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, the college football playoff bracket. This is what we like, though, because yes, 2 is not as good as 4. 4 is not as good as 12. That's what we love. It gets a lot of energy going in the room, and rightfully so. But also, if we could take a freeze frame right now, Dubsy, if we can get that projected college football bracket to play out in round number 1, it's actually really good. So if you take a look at one of those spots, Ohio State and Tennessee, Ohio State will be hosting at the Horseshoe against Tennessee, and SEC team. Absolutely love that. Georgia would be hosting against Indiana. You know me. I don't think Indiana technically deserves to be there, but under the rules, they deserve to be there, if that makes sense. Love them going on the road to an SEC team. And then we take a look at maybe a ratings blockbuster like we haven't seen before, which I know it sounds stupid, but it feels like Notre Dame, Alabama would actually do bigger numbers than the national championship game. Alabama in the cold at Notre Dame Stadium, unbelievable. Then we get Penn State and Arizona State, which I think I can speak for everybody outside of the state of Arizona. Nobody cares that Arizona is in there, which I tweeted out yesterday, Dubsy. Put Miami at Penn State in the winter. You got blockbuster ratings. We are so close to perfection, but the upsetting part, Dubsy, things are going to change and move around. I have a feeling we're going to get skunked on a couple games in round number one, and I hope that's not the case.
I really hope not, Donnie, because it's some great fuel for us to talk about between now and then. I'm really not expecting to see a lot of movement, but if we were to go off projected of what we get in the first round, I mean, some tantalizing matchups. The marquee one for me, Bama, Notre Dame in the cold, the Fighting Irish. I think the public would suddenly turn in Notre Dame's favor here. Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of pundits saying that Bama really don't deserve their shot in the top 12. But I think we would get some fantastic matchups, maybe even better in the first round than what's projected to go in the quarterfinals. No offense there, Boise State or SMU, where we could expect to see a couple of blowouts. And not to make it, you know, a beat-up session again here, Donnie, but for whatever team that makes it out the first round squaring off against Boise State, they're going to be the favorites going in to the quarterfinals after they've had to play one more game. It makes no sense. But right now, the first four games, they would be fantastic. And this is why I am a fan of the 12-team playoff format, because there's a couple of more storylines. There's a bit more extra juice. We saw it there last weekend. There's a bit more on the line coming in for this weekend as well. So I like it. We've obviously got to, you know, get rid of a couple of chinks out of it, but I think they'll figure it out in good fortune, in good time, I should say there. But right now, some great matchups. I mean, Penn State, they'd be absolutely electric. Georgia, Indiana, Georgia at home in their building, in their environment, it would be absolutely bouncing. It's got quite the buzz, and the buzz continues to build, Donnie. We're just not sure it's building in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. And also, let me understand this and get my point again, which I've been railing on for at least 5 to 6 years now. Bowl season, we can still have bowl season, Dubsy, right? Have the Rose Bowl, have the Orange Bowl, have the Peach Bowl, whatever bowl you want, just don't include it in the college football playoff. Because the one thing I love is the theater of professional and collegiate sports. Home games in the playoffs here, as we talked about, Ohio State rocking, Georgia rocking, Penn State incredible, Notre Dame incredible. And then we go to the second round, which also, when we take a look at the matchups moving forward, and we can't say this enough, these are going to change these ratings by next week. These aren't going to be the college football playoff games as expected. But if you are Penn State, you go, do we have the best draw? Like, wait, you don't have a bye week. It doesn't matter. Like, you're going to wax Arizona State at home. Then you're going to wax Boise in Boise. Like, James Franklin is living the good life right now, as opposed to Ohio State has to beat Tennessee at home. Then is going to get Oregon. But you know what would be worse for Oregon or for Ohio State again? Man, we got to go back up to Autzen Stadium in Oregon and play them again. No, you don't. It's neutral site, which is ridiculous. As I said, reward the teams off the bye with home games here and continue that home field advantage. The NFL is sensational, Dubs, throughout the playoffs. Then they get to a Super Bowl after 2 weeks, build up at a neutral site. That's acceptable. Do the same thing in college football. All home games until the national championship games here, Dub. Do you agree with me on this, or do you like the setup with college football playing these four quote-unquote meaningless bowl games in the playoff?
No, absolutely not, Donnie. And I think you should be rewarded with, home field advantage. That's the cherry on top there. After performing throughout, the longevity of such a vigorous season in college football. So, no, I think that the home environment should certainly be factored in. You should be rewarded for the fruits of your labor going through a very taxing long season here. So a couple of things that have to be changed and updated here, but it is what it is, and certainly going to live up to the billing once we get it underway.
It is. We have to get rid of these automatic bids. But by the way, the Alabama clause? Yeah, not Santa Claus, the Bama clause. We're talking about it next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, let's continue the college football playoff talk because it's hot. It can be, Dubs, it can be absolutely perfect. It really can. We're only a couple years away. Let's expand it up to 16. Let's get rid of the bye weeks. Let's get rid of the automatic bids. It could be perfect, but it's not, and here we are today. So the questions always come in is, here's what I don't understand. I feel like I pick up for the SEC all the time, and I'm not even an SEC guy. My team is Miami, and I actively argue against Miami being left out of the college football playoff for a team like Alabama. They shouldn't be, and they have three losses. Understand, no longer is it about wins and losses. It's about the scheduling. Because if you're looking at the scheduling itself, it's mattering who they play. Now, if you have one loss, like Indiana, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt over the two lost teams. But back in the days, like to say, just a few years ago, Miami in a Power 5 conference in the ACC with two losses, Alabama with three dubsy and not playing for a conference championship, they can't make it in. But it's a new day and age here. So let's start here. Give me your thoughts on Alabama right now, technically ahead of Miami and awaiting to get into the college football playoff.
Yeah, and it's a tough one, Donnie, because we're not going to see Bama against us. They're certainly not going to drop any further stock. Someone's going to have to jump them. But sitting at 9-3, you know, you've watched them at times going through the regular season saying this is the Bama of old, the Bama that we've expected to see under Nick Saban in past years. They've definitely got that quality. You could make the argument that they've probably got a little more quality out there on the field at any given time than a couple of these other teams that will ultimately punch their ticket. So you look at the losses: Vandy, Tennessee, Oklahoma. That was in blowout fashion. Miami certainly had a couple of tough losses there as well. But it is the strength of schedule. And if you're trying to, you know, if you want to make the counter argument, they have had a very tough and testing season. Strength of schedule, sitting about 10th best, 10th toughest there in the nation. Three wins against top 25 teams. They've had six wins against bowl eligible opponents. So the quality and the measuring stick really has been there. And I think, you know, with this being such a new look version of the college football playoffs, they want Bama to be in there. It's going to be a ratings killer if the Crimson Tide are not a part of that first round. And not to say that that's going to be enough, but there's always that intangible that the old Crimson Tide will be rolling with. And again, it seems to be rolling enough to push them inside that top 12. And hopefully we do see them there, Donnie, because I do think it makes it a bit more exciting, certainly for us talking whether they should be in there, whether they shouldn't be in there. But I do think they've got the pieces to be a bit of a force in the playoffs. I think they're better than a couple of the teams ranked above them. So I'll be that guy. I'll say yes, Bama should absolutely be in the college football playoffs. And that's with three losses, Donnie. To your point, it used to be a day and age where you have two losses. That's not going to be enough for you. You've got three losses. Well, okay, we still got room for you.
By the way, and we also wouldn't be having this argument all that much if you just went by the rankings himself and the top, let's just say, 12 teams getting in. But it feels like the byes are messing it up, but not from a perspective where it's Oregon or Texas. It feels like the ACC, like if SMU gets a bye, well, they have earned it. They haven't played anybody. Like the only team they played that was decent, they actually lost to. And Boise State, look, I love the fact that Boise State is a Cinderella story. You know, it'd be a lot more fun, like if Boise hosted a playoff game against Alabama. I can get into that. But you're telling me round number two could be Boise State and Arizona State in a semifinal? I don't want anything to do with that. That's ridiculous. But the Alabama clause also, we have to understand, it is a business. Television is a business. College football is a business. And I understand there's always haters of teams that are great. People are going to hate the Lakers. They're going to hate the Celtics. They're going to hate the Alabama Crimson Tide. Oh, just keep them out. You're telling me you want to see SMU at Notre Dame if SMU loses? Nobody wants to see it. And I'm sure the television executives are going like, please, please keep this out, because you're looking at a ratings bonanza and it's about the casual fans, Dubsy. A lot of times it's not the hardcore NCAA football fans. I get it, but it's a business. You got to bring everybody into the tent. SMU, I don't care. If you're an SMU fan, that's fantastic. They bring nobody into the tent. Arizona brings nobody into the tent. I actually would argue that Boise State brings more people into the tent than those two schools combined, as we would want to watch Aston Gentry to see if he can go up against a talented defensive front and stop it here. So I know we're not going to get those results until Sunday, which, by the way, is fantastic because we break out into a college football panel on the Pro Football Today show once those ratings get released here. But a lot is going to change. And also, Ward Manuel sat up there and told us, Dubs, last night, yes, there is a chance that Alabama is going to jump SMU if they lose in that playoff, / Clemson. Long way to go, Dubsy. So let's also take a look at some of these numbers that to win the college national championship and who you might be digging here. If we look overall, Oregon is a plus 350 favorite. They are the favorite overall. Texas, plus 380. Ohio State, 4-1. Then we start to creep lower and lower and lower. Is there somebody, based on these seedings right now, that you want to buy into, Dubsy?
I think top of the board, Oregon at plus 350, that's really not a bad price. And there is still plenty of parity coming in to the playoffs as we get set for championship weekend, looming ahead there. But look, back to Bama. They've got that top gear. They can certainly run with the best of them when they're on their day. And you're getting 13-1 plus 1,300. Obviously, that number's still banked on that there could be a couple of changes ahead there. But that's really not a bad price. You know, first season here for Kalen DeBoer, and what we have seen from Bama, it's been really strong at times. It's just the inconsistency, which is a little concerning, especially coming into the business end of the season where they potentially have to get through Notre Dame in that first round. I wouldn't mind that spot, but then they get that sort of cupcake run through the quarterfinals going against SMU, and then ultimately likely would square off against Texas, the Longhorns, in the semifinals. So for me, Donnie, I'm trying to play the bracket, which is a tough thing to do because it's not set in stone right now, but I like the top of the board, Dylan Gabriel and the Ducks. I certainly think they are the best team in the nation, and for them to win, three more games, and you still get them at plus 350, I think that's a really good price. The value for me, Bama sitting at 13-1. If they were to make a bit of a run, that'd be the outlier value play.
And if we cross over and take a look at, right, the NCAA tournament, which you really can't do, but people play into it. Oh, it's great to have, I don't know, an SMU as the 3 seed or a Boise as the 4 seed. Can you imagine, Dubs, if we did that in the NCAA Field of 64, where you said to yourself, okay, Ball State of the MAC won the MAC. They're on the 1 line as the 4 seed. You'd be like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And yet here we are saying you had to have a place at the table. Here's what I don't understand. Here's always the argument that I make when you take a look at the championship picture. Like Indiana's 40-1 at this point, right? Coming in as the 10th seed. And then Penn State is a 10-1 coming as the 5 seed. How could that be? Well, just look at the way they're going to play it in. If it was Arizona State, pick up the win. Then they get the luxury of taking on Boise State as opposed to every other team is going to get a 10-bell effort out of the guy they're playing, Oregon, Texas, or whoever that might be, Clemson or SMU. But for me and my money, I just don't understand the concept of why we had to save a place at the table for a group 5 quote-unquote team. It's still only 12, and it's better than 4, and it's better than 8. I understand that. This 12 is better than what we saw last year in the 4. Completely understand. I just don't understand why we're doing this. Also, the bye week, if you want to have a group of 5 team in, automatically make them the 12 seed with no chance to get a bye. That remedies a lot of these situations across for the fairness overall. But right now, as I look at that college football playoff bracket, I see 10-1 Penn State. I want to bet them. Because they have a slingshot to the semifinal when Oregon's like, now hold on. I have the number 1 seed. Yes, I'm getting the bye. I love it. But I'm going to play a neutral site against probably an Ohio State team that played us in our own building. And outside of a Will Howard, I slid down too late at this point. You probably get beat in your own building. It doesn't add up. It's supposed to be fair. And I know it's never going to be perfect. But Oregon saying I have to go neutral site against Ohio State when Penn State gets a home game and then Boise State in a bowl game? That ain't right, Dubsy. It's just not.
Donnie, what would have to validate this format for you? Would it have to be a win from a Boise State or an ACC SMU in the quarterfinals to say, hey, maybe we were wrong, maybe we were discounted and giving them a hard time a little too early, a little too late there? What would it take to validate this format?
And there probably will be some upsets, but it's always getting what you figure is the best teams in the country lining up based on merit, and we're not getting that right now. Under the rules, Indiana should be in, and they are. SMU, if they win, will be in. That's the rule. Boise State, if they win, they're in. That's the rule. But we shouldn't have these rules in place to start here. There should have been guardrails. Ah, exhausting on the college football playoff. What happened in the NBA tonight? Get after it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From a tournament everybody asked for to a tournament, Dubsy, nobody asked for. It's the NBA Cup, baby. Get ready. LeBron James, the reigning champion, and doesn't look like he's going to get to defend his title in the Cup here at this point, where I do believe the Lakers raised a banner for the NBA Cup and maybe the New York Knicks. They haven't reigned. Did they even make banners back in the day the last time the Knicks actually won anything here? But they're looking to win the NBA Cup. They had a nice victory last night, 121-106 over the Magic, easily putting them away, coasting to a victory, which meant they only need to score 15 points in the fourth quarter here and still won by double digits. Wagner had 30 for Orlando. Josh Hart, a triple-double, 11 points, 13 boards, and 10 assists. The Knicks, 7-2 at home, 13-8, advancing into the NBA Cup.
Yeah, they take Group A, absolutely pummeled the Magic, who have been playing some really good basketball. A little surprising. Yeah. They've been a money earner, Orlando Magic. But for the Knicks, that was a fantastic win. They'll top Group A, I believe, to advance. They'll square off against the Hawks in the quarterfinals next Tuesday. And for the Magic, they're still going to punch their ticket through. They'll square off against the Bucks next week. So two teams vying for, I guess, that second tilt at the NBA Cup. But that was a big performance there. Josh Hart, he was fantastic for the Knicks last night. 11, 13, and 10, getting that triple-double. And suddenly, the Knicks are trending in the right direction. You look at the FD Sportsbook, they're currently the shortest price to take out that NBA Cup. But I feel like it's very similar to the Par 3 tournament, but at the Masters, you know, to make that golf comparison, nobody wants to win the Par 3 tournament on Wednesday, Danny. That's a bad omen going in to the big dance. And I feel like that's the same for the NBA Cup. It's a distraction.
I like it. I like it, Dub. See, I like where you're going with this, too, which means that let's just say Giannis and the Bucks end up in the finals of the NBA Cup. You get hammered by 60. Like, you get those vibes out of the building. Like, you know what? We didn't want to expend any energy on this. We want to continue and win the actual NBA championship. Another team that hasn't played great basketball to start, but maybe rounding the corners, the Bucks. 11-9 on the season, downing the Pistons, and now the Bucks with that 128-107 victory. They move forward into the NBA Cup here with a group win, and they're looking, Giannis and the boys, and Dame, to maybe hang a banner for themselves, something they tried to do last year and were very successful in doing.
Yeah, 128 points up there from the Bucks on Tuesday night, and they're going to need both of those superstars gelling, trending in the right direction. It's been a little spicy, both on and off the court. They've struggled to get them both out there at times, but we saw them both, and we saw what they're absolutely capable of. This could be the best 1-2 punch when they are both cooking and singing along in a similar step there. Giannis last night goes for 28. Dame time went for 27. You've got two players who can absolutely take over that game at any point in time. And they've got a couple of nice, you know, weapons off the bench there, giving them some production as well. Bobby Portis, he was pretty big last night going against the Pistons as well. So for the Bucks, it's a step in the right direction. I know it's early in the season, but I think they'll take a lot of confidence from this one, and they'll get to square off against the Magic. So it won't be an easy feat next Tuesday night. But I think this would bring a lot of confidence into a locker room, Donnie, that's been, not to say, you know, divided, but a little split. I think they needed this one, and this could be the catalyst and that spark for them to get their season really moving in the right direction and show us that they are one of the heavyweights that we thought they were coming into this year.
Yeah, take a look at the quarterfinal matchups here, Dubs. It's going to be the Bucks versus the Magic in the East, the Knicks versus the Hawks in the East, and then in the West, it's going to be OKC and Dallas, and also the Houston Rockets taking on the Golden State Warriors. Then the semifinals, looks like they take place in Vegas, so that's next Tuesday. And then do we know when the championship game actually is? Is it like two nights later? Is it a weekend where they take a week off and go back to Vegas? So they actually play in Vegas and then play again in Vegas a week later? Is that what I'm getting? Yeah, we're getting checks behind the scenes right now live. Yeah, I'm getting explained to me in the background, which means that this tournament is ridiculous at this point. No, I'm not even going to say it myself. Nobody knows anything about the cup apparently now, except the teams. And you know what? The teams themselves, they probably have to be told, oh, tonight's a cup game, and we're where next weekend? Ooh, okay. And then after that, where are we at? And then they forget again at this point. Look, I rail the NBA Cup. Saturday and Tuesday in Vegas. So a nice weekend here. Who knows? Maybe the guys play on Saturday hoping they lose to have an extra couple nights off to just hang out in Vegas, which is probably better than playing an extra game in Las Vegas, is watching the game here, Dubsy. By the way, like, we understand it's going to happen. We're going to handicap and take place. Second year of the NBA Cup. It's like F1 in Vegas, where it came around a second time. People are like, please, just leave. Are we at the point for the NBA Cup to just leave because of the insignificance? Or are people digging this year? For me, I could care less.
I could care less, Donnie, and it's so tough in trying to know what's exactly going on. And does it really give us extra juice? Like, I'm going to watch the NBA on a Tuesday night because it's the NBA, not because of the NBA Cup and trying to see if the Lakers can lift a midweek title. You know, I'm big into the soccer, the English Premier League, and that's where it gets confusing. You've got, like, the Champions League, the Carabao Cup. You're like, well, I thought we won on Tuesday and Wednesday in this midweek special, but we've lost five in a row at the level. So it just makes the waters a little murkier. And I really don't think the NBA was lacking in games or extra juice. Maybe it's that motivation to get some of the star players out there a little more often. But I feel like we've figured out a couple of different ways to make sure that the big names are putting up minutes there on the nightly. So for me, Donnie, maybe I'm old school. Maybe you could say, get off my lawn. But I don't like it. I don't think we needed anything extra gravy at the table, if you will, at this point in the season. But it is what it is. I'll be excited. I'm going to watch all the games regardless. Did it help the Lakers really do anything last season? No. It's a little cringy and embarrassing when you're lifting that as the title, saying, hey, look at this one. It's championships. It's the real banners that we're trying to hang out here at Crypto. So I don't think the focus should shift, but it is what it is. And I guess it's a little different flavor than what we have seen over the past.
No, it is. And also, you see the NBA Cup champion odds. The Knicks are the favorites at +390. If you want that big dog price, you get the Atlanta Hawks at a 19-1, Dubsy. It's simple to me. Like, you go out for a nice steak dinner, right? Like, oh, man, I can't wait for this. Chef comes out. Waiter comes out. All right, here's your T-bone steak, ribeye, however you like here, sets it down. And then the other waiter comes over and hands you a plate of tofu. And you go, I didn't ask for this tofu. That's what the NBA is doing to you. The steak dinner is the NBA championship and the finals. The tofu of the NBA, you know what that is? That's the NBA Cup. We don't need it. Nobody asked for it, people. Let's get back to college basketball. Are we hot on the early line? Yes, we are, man. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, Little John Coliseum yesterday was rocking in Clemson, South Carolina. Why? Because the Clemson Tigers knocked off the unbeaten number 4-ranked Kentucky Wildcats, dropping them to 7-1 on the season. Clemson improves to 8-1, a great defensive effort, which is the calling card for for Clemson. They get it done over Kentucky yesterday, Dubs. A big win in the SEC, ACC Men's Challenge.
Yeah, massive one there for Clemson. Chauncey Wiggins, he was spectacular, putting up 12-point performance. We saw Shiflin adding 11 points, but he was massive on the boards there. Goes for 20 rebounds. I believe that was a career high for Clemson. What a feat it was to shut down Kentucky. Defense was the key in this one. And for the old Wildcats, bit of a wake-up call. They've had a really nice start to their campaign. Mark Pope, he's been getting them primed up for the big occasion, but that was the first real defense they faced in going against the Tigers. So they'll take a bit away from this one. But for Clemson, they'll take a lot of confidence from that victory on Tuesday night. That was a big one over Kentucky, considered to be one of the best in the nation.
By the way, also, we're going to bounce around a little bit. A lot of these challenges, which I do like, whenever you get ranked on ranked competition or big games here, it is fun to watch and sort of set the table, Dubsy, for the rest of the season as these teams will eventually get to conference play. How about Villanova? Coming into the game 4-4 on the season, a lot of talk here in the Philadelphia area. Kyle Neptune, not the man for the job. The top 15 ranked Cincinnati Bearcats come to town, and the Villanova Wildcats get a victory, 68-60 over the Bearcats. Maybe we're finally here for Villanova, because those early losses, something that had a lot of people puzzling, as if this could not be a playoff team, a field of 64 team. That's a big win for Nova last night over the Bearcats.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, no titles being won there on a Tuesday night for the Big 12, but certainly building a lot of stock there. They were fantastic from out wide, 40% from the three-point range. They were 48% from the field. So really efficient shooting. And for the Wildcats, it's defense, which is going to be key for them moving through the season here. They've got to shut it down, and they shut down the Bearcats, whose offense has looked pretty strong from what we have seen over the last few weeks in the college basketball. So it's a big second half. Villanova, the Wildcats got a much-needed victory and delivered a bit of an upset there to the Bearcats as well. Their first loss for the year.
And by the way, you take a look at some of those players that need to step up for Villanova. Eric Dixon, two of the past three games. They lost to Maryland 76-75, which is a tough loss. He dropped 38 points in there. Now, they did beat Rider 72-48, scored 16, but then stepping back up against top 20 competition, dropped 31 points in that victory yesterday. Certainly ultra impressive. Other games across the atmosphere yesterday, Oklahoma over Georgia Tech. Easy victory there, Dubsy, 76-61, as they win that battle yesterday.
46-27, they outscored them in the second half. Boomer Sooner. The Sooners go big there on Tuesday evening. And you look at the starting five, it was complimentary basketball, if you will. They're all putting up points. They're all getting busy in the paint there. So it was a real team effort from the Sooners. 76-61, once it was all said and done. And some of the key stats there, it was efficient shooting. Again, 38% from the field, but it was only seven turnovers. So they played some really professional looking basketball, and the will, the effort was there, out getting them on the glass 37-33. So the boards was key. It was effort on effort. And for number 21, the nation, Oklahoma, the Sooners, that was a big score.
You know what I love too in the early months or parts of these December months here? The best part about this stuff is like we rail on things like the NBA Cup, like this is ridiculous, made for TV, but nobody actually cares about it theoretically. And the players, who knows? But I love these Big 12, Big East battles. You take a look at the SEC, ACC battles. You get Power 5 competition versus Power 5 competition, Dubsy. You get a good viewpoint and a vantage point on what you can expect the rest of the way. Because the one thing I don't like about early season college basketball is, hey, let's open the season with five straight games against teams you never heard of, beat them all by 50 points. There's no need for that. That's basically a scrimmage season. So I do rail on tournaments and things I don't think make some sense, Dubsy. I actually really like these battles between the conferences.
Yeah, that's what you want to see, Donnie. A bit of extra juice, yeah. And thankfully we've had some really good matchups that are going to be tried and tested late in some of these games, and we can use it as a measuring stick and trying to see how some of these new faces in new places look for a lot of the marquee programs. And that's the one thing that we're not getting with the college football. We're not going to have that measuring stick until Boise State get done by 40 piece there in the quarterfinals. So I think it's been fantastic, and there's no days off in the college basketball. These young guys, they're trying to prove their worth early in the season. They're fighting for roster spots, so there's always a lot on the line. And for a couple of these big programs, they've had some strong starts to the season. They've gone through the cupcakes, the first five, six games of the schedule. We're starting to see some really big tests, and we're starting to see some really strong games as well on the nightly.
There we go. Got you covered across all landscapes. Hour number one is down. Hour number two is next. The hot topics, they just don't stop. We'll be right back right here on the Early Line.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.